This morning we take another step in a short stewardship series as we're in stewardship campaign for this fall. And we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, a few verses from that in just a moment. But I want to ask you to do something first. I wonder if you would take a moment to remember a time, a season in your life, maybe an event or a day, when someone or some organization or a church, but something or someone was kind and generous to you. And it was at a time in your life when you were particularly vulnerable, when you couldn't meet that need, whether it was monetary or a kind word or someone stopping to help you, broken down on the side of the road, whatever it might be, it was something that you couldn't fix without help. And so you were experiencing the helplessness of it. And someone showed up and gave to you. Okay? Hold on to that. Because that is the very heart of a very simple message I want to give this morning about thanks. I've told you before, those of you who have been here regularly, that I was only the solo pastor of the Montrose First Presbyterian Church for 5 weeks when, back in Maryland, they discovered a tumor, a cancerous tumor, fast growing, very aggressive, in my dad's chest. And I was immediately faced with a dilemma. I wanted so badly to make a good impression with the church and not to send a message like, well, you know, he's already gone doing things. I wanted to make sure that they knew that I was fully committed. But I also knew that this was a frightening word about my father. So I asked several of the elders in the church, what do you think I should do? And one of them is an internal medicine doctor. And he looked me right in the eye and he said, if it was me and it was my dad, I would go immediately. And I would go as often as I could. And a chill went through me. Because no one was telling me that Daddy was dying, but Bob was saying to me, this is life-threatening. You should go at once. And so I did. I asked for permission from the session to be released to be able to go, and I went in July of 89. I went in August of 89, and I went back when he was on his deathbed in November of 1989. And then a week later for the funeral. And then I entered into a period of 10 really hard months, hard grieving. This was the first parent I lost, first really close family member, and I felt it very deeply. I'm a high feeler anyway, but and all through it, the congregation and the session said, whatever you need to do, we will support you. Strangers. And I have never forgotten that. I am still so thankful that they would give that gift to me, a stranger to them. That's at the heart of our passage today. It's all about being thankful because of someone else's generosity. Let us pray. Lord, that we might remember those times and places where someone has done for us something we could not do for ourselves. Somebody has been generous sacrificially, costing them that we might have what we needed. Thank you, Lord God, for those memories. And thank you for this scripture and how St. Paul speaks into this need in our life today. We pray that you would show up and penetrate the callousness of our hearts, those places where we know the truth, but it no longer pierces us or motivates us any longer, that we might be once again pierced and made grateful. For we pray humbly, honestly, confidently in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, hear the word of God. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and all the others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he's given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. In A.D. 47, 10 years before Paul wrote this letter, Paul and Barnabas were separated out by the head of the church, the heads of the church, the apostles in the Jerusalem church, who sent them forth to become apostles to the Gentiles, to go and reach the Gentile world. And there was to be no laying of the heavy burden of the Gentiles first needing to become Jews before they could become Christ's followers. But they did ask of them one thing. Remember us. Remember the church wherever it might be, but particularly here in Palestine. Remember us if we are ever in need. So a year prior to the writing of 2 Corinthians 9, Paul sees that there is a famine going on in the eastern Mediterranean, 9 years after he and Barnabas have been sent out. And he begins to get word out to all the many little congregations that he's helped form all around the Mediterranean, asking them to take up an offering. And this offering will be for the sake of the suffering that is going on in the Jerusalem church. Well, three congregations, three of the poorest of all, up in Macedonia, Thessalonica, Berea, and Philippi, those three churches were dirt poor. But when they heard about it, and Paul was not intending to even ask them because they were so poor, they kind of beat down the door. They came begging him, exhorting him, please let us be a part of this. We long to help. And they had sacrificially gathered up funds that they didn't really have, but at great cost to themselves, had delivered this magnificent offering. The church in Corinth, much wealthier, had been exhorted to do the same, and they had started off well, and they were every first day of every week, on Sunday, they would set aside offering for the Jerusalem church. But apparently it had fallen off. They had misplaced priorities. Whatever happened, they weren't carrying through on it. And Paul is writing in part in 2 Corinthians, the letter of 2 Corinthians, to urge them to give. And not just to give, but to give generously. And in our passage today, what he's lifting up is there is only one motivation that really serves this need, and that is thanksgiving. To be thankful, give out of thanksgiving. And Paul here speaks to thanksgiving with three reasons, three different ways in which thanksgiving should be expressed, or reasons for which it should be expressed. So here's the first one in verse 6, and that is because of the grace of God. Well, that's obvious enough, but we so easily forget. Paul did everything as thanksgiving for the grace of God given in Christ Jesus. Back in chapter 8, verse 9, he has said to them, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," meaning in glory, as the second person of the Trinity, fully God, filled with all of the privileges and responsibilities and the wonder and the blessings, all of that which goes with being the one true living God, that Christ Jesus was rich in glory. But for our sakes, Paul says in chapter 8, verse 9, that he became poor, meaning the incarnation. He became fully human on our behalf. He laid aside all of these deity things, these characteristics and rights and abilities that God alone could have, and he set them aside on our behalf that he might become one of us. Then he goes on, Paul goes on, and he says, "So that you, by his poverty," which is, of course, expressed most powerfully and most completely in the cross, "that by his becoming so poor on your behalf that he would die in your place, a sinner's death, punished for our sake, for our sins, that we might become rich." Now, this is the basis for everything Paul is teaching in this section of 2 Corinthians. And at the end of our passage today, he says, "This surpassing grace," verse 14, "has been lavished upon you Corinthians." It's not just for, you know, those worthy ones out there somewhere. No, it's been lavished upon you. This grace has been given completely, utterly, wholly to you. And he says, with exclamation mark, verse 15, that it's indescribable what he's done for you. In other words, Paul can't come up with the words that are adequate to saying what it is that God has done for you. Now, let me just, you know, say a word here about, I think that what happens with you and me is that we get it. We really do. But we oftentimes don't get it. Or we've gotten it for a while and then it becomes old news. So we hear about the grace of God and we go, yeah, I understand. But it's not like as if we're experiencing it. And that's what's going on with the Corinthians. They're kind of losing the sense of wonder and humility about the grandeur of what Christ has done for them. And that's the starting point for generosity. It's where thanksgiving starts to come up in us. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot what God has done for me in Christ Jesus. He uses a word here in verse 6, and he puts a bookend around this passage with the same idea expressed with a different word, as if he's encapsulating these 10 verses. And the word means, it means bountiful or generous. It's the word, I've got it here somewhere, eulogia, from which we would get a eulogy. Eulogia, it's bountiful. It is abundant what he has done for us. So Paul is saying, give out of thanksgiving for what Christ has done for you. Simple enough. Sometimes we don't access it easily, but it's simple enough to understand. The second thing then in verse 7 that he says is that we are to be thankful and give generously as a result of that thanksgiving because of God's attitude. Look at verse 7 with me once again. It has this fascinating call for us to give as you've made up your mind, not reluctantly or because you have to, out of duty or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, part of where Paul is coming from on this is that he's just been describing that God is a cheerful giver. And what he's inviting them to do is to reflect that. Be like God is, a cheerful giver. The thing that we don't get, unless we go to original sources, is that the word that he used here is the word hilaron, which is the word we get hilarity from. And it's one of the clearest indications of God having a feeling nature. Because it is the picture that's expressed here is God full of laughter gives. Not laughter like, oh, you idiot, you know. Not a sarcastic or cynical laughter, but a laughter of joy. That's the laughter of one who's been set free or who is giving out of freedom. I love to give is the picture that comes. I love to give to you. I would give you so much more if you were open to it. God, the God of laughter. He's inviting us to be living that way with the same kind of attitude. The sense of freedom from worry and fear. I need more money. I'm going to have to hold on to this. Say, trust me. I'll give you an abundance. Trust me. That's the second thing. And the third thing, in verses 14 and 15, the third reason why we should be thankful and that we should give generously as a result is this notion of how when we give, people are helped. And when people are helped, they become thankful. Well, duh. That's obvious enough. But I don't think that we really take that so seriously. That God is so pleased when people are thankful. It's something about being made in the image of God. We were made to receive and be thankful. And when others are made thankful by the gifts that we give, God is pleased. And not only that, they start thanking God too. Apparently that's a big deal to God. That he longs for his children to close the loop, to be a part of a relationship. Not just that we receive the gifts and do whatever we darn well please with them. It's we turn around and go, oh, thank you. 10 lepers healed of leprosy. Only one comes back and thanks Jesus. I never have gotten that. But I think it happens all the time. People are given gifts from God through his people. Yeah, they just go on. Forget to thank the ones who gave. Forget to thank God, perhaps. But some do. And Paul says, it makes it worth it. Give generously, he says, like your poor brothers and sisters up in Macedonia. Give generously out of thanksgiving because of God's grace, because of God's attitude, because of what it does among other people. 10 months, September 28th, 1989, I remember recognizing in a letter, a handwritten letter I was writing to a friend in Seattle, Washington, and I said in that letter, I feel like the storm is over, and I'll always miss Daddy, but the storm is over. The hardest part of the grief seems to have passed, and beginning to be able to be my real self again, and I'm so thankful. That evening, they discovered my brother's body. And it is officially the date of his death. And I plunged into a much darker, deeper storm. It was a different kind of grief than it had been for losing my father. And it lasted a long time. And First Presbyterian Church of Montrose waited a long time to have their pastor. And they were generous. And they waited. And then after not 10 months and another 2+ years, I began to find myself in pastor. And, you know, I'd like to believe that I gave generously out of thanksgiving to them. I know one thing. I've never stopped being grateful and wanting to give generously because of them. So what about you and me today? Let me just offer for you in closing this morning some practical possibilities. One of the things that I have been taught is to make a list of thanksgivings every morning from the day before. What are you thankful for? Sometimes I write them in my journal. Sometimes I just get them in my head and speak them to God. But it keeps fresh the whole need to be a thankful person. I'd encourage you to do that. In your head, in your spoken prayers, in a journal or in some list you would keep, remember what you have to be thankful for and see how much it counterbalances and overwhelms the challenges in your life. So another thing that I would strongly recommend to you to do would be to find ways to give to others out of that thanksgiving every day. Not just do, but remember, oh, you know, I want to give back to Christ. I want to give back to those who have been so kind to me. And I'm going to pass it forward. And that's my motivation for doing what I'm about to do. And I want to encourage you to tithe, for those of you who are not presently tithing. It is the standard that is set for us in Scripture. It may be a long way away for you. I don't know what anybody in this church gives, but I'd urge you to consider moving towards a tithe of generosity back to God for what He has done for you. Be prayerful as you fill out your commitment card this year. We long for you to know the wonder of a life of generosity. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray in humility but with confidence that you would once again penetrate our hearts, that we would remember what it is we have to be thankful for that has come directly from you or that has been mediated through the hands and lives of other human beings. But all good gifts come from you. We pray, Lord God, that you would awaken in us thanksgiving, and that out of that motivation, you would give us the courage to be generous givers, if we are not already. Lord, help us, we pray, that we might be faithful to you, full of thanksgiving. For we pray, thankfully, in the name of Jesus. Amen.